Joining us on the line now is Sharika Chauhan. Whilst she was venturing into the realm of children's charities and mentorship programs, she became a catalyst for change while simultaneously embarking on a thrilling new chapter as a debut author. Growing up in the vibrant suburbs of Greater London, her Indian roots and childhood fantasies of distant lands ignited a fierce wanderlust within her. So she embarked on solo escapades spanning over 40 countries. She's with us on the book show to talk about Maya's Worldly Wonders. It's based on a true story of her thrilling solo adventures and is a series of educational and fun children's tales seen through the eyes of a fearless little girl called Maya. It's the perfect blend of authentic geographical facts and empowering life lessons for curious 8 to 12 year olds. Welcome to the book show, Sharika.
Thank you. Now, that was a great intro as well.
Oh, well, I think it's amazing what you've done, all this traveling. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Do you know what? I just got back from a 7-week South American stint. This one actually wasn't solo. I was with meeting different friends in various different places who are there, all kind of traveling buddies sometimes as well. But yeah, I went to Chile and then Patagonia, which was incredible. On the Chilean side and the Argentinian side, and then I ended in Brazil. So this was my second time in Brazil. I actually wrote one of my 4 books that I launched in September last year was in Brazil. So it was nice to go back to Brazil after exactly 20 years.
Oh, so amazing.
Right, yeah.
So when you go to places for the first time, what makes you choose particular countries, do you think?
So I wanted to make sure that, and I've been to numerous countries, 42 now, actually 43, but I genuinely like to pick things that are slightly underexplored. That's not to say I don't like checking out places that where tourists go. Don't get me wrong. I also love doing that. But I also like to see countries that are less underexplored, less commercialized, just so I can see it and it's authentic, where they are at the time and, you know, how the locals are really living. And I like to really immerse myself into that. So, I went 2015, I went to Nepal just after the earthquake. So it was about 6-7 months after the earthquake in 2015 that happened in the earlier years of 2015. And I did this Himalayan trek in October 2015. And there's a lot of people that would have shied away from that because there still could have been tremors. There could have been a second earthquake off the back of that. And I said, you know what? No, I really want to go because the money that I am putting towards this, the tourist money, is going to help them as a country. And I was so keen to see the Himalayas at that point. And I set my mind on it. I trained to hike for 3 weeks. So I said, I'm just going to do it. I really want to see that country. And again, unless you're really doing Everest base camp and you're doing some of the treks, people don't really go to Nepal to visit it as a country. Mm. And it's so beautiful. So my books, the first of all that I launched, which is Brazil, the Himalayas and Nepal, Japan and Malaysia and Borneo, there I went to places there that were less touristy, less explored. And I wanted to really see the wildlife and nature. And, you know, when I was in Borneo, I mean, I felt like I was David Attenborough because you were going into national parks, but in the middle of the Bornean jungle and going into river safaris and so on, which was just incredible. And so I could have easily said I want to write about it as a travel memoir for adults, but because, and you touched on this nicely, a lot of the kind of charity and social impact work that I was doing was getting kids into reading and volunteering and sitting with them for 7 months, and those who are really struggling or who don't find reading easy from like primary school, just sat with them just to give them that confidence. So I think subconsciously bringing my idea, my love for travel, my ideas of putting a travel memoir together, and then actually thinking about putting it into a children's fictional like tales and making them short stories so they're engaging and just based on each different country that I've been to, was more appealing to me. There's a greater cause for that as well, and I think a bigger impact.
I bet it was great fun to do as well.
It was. I mean, look, I've never written before. I come from finance. So I spent 16 years in the finance world looking at all sorts of complex products and operations and logistics and so on. And And so when I made this transition into the kind of creative, I think everyone has a creative outlet, but I didn't really know mine was writing, because I was a bookworm. As a child, I was a bookworm. I loved reading books. But again, you know, I didn't have any books at the time that I could, any characters that I could relate to that were brown like me, you know, with Indian heritage, or maybe were born in Britain but were to Indian parents. So I really wanted to make sure that that was the key thing. There's an Indian protagonist, and she's female, and she's strong, and she's fearless and bold, and, you know, sometimes makes mistakes and things don't always go the right way, but she learns. But I also wanted to, yeah, touch and write about the travels that I had experienced, especially when I was going solo, because there's quite a lot of adventure in that.
Oh, absolutely. And do you think it will inspire young people who read the book to do traveling themselves and to explore the world? Is that the idea also?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm not saying they just go by themselves. It doesn't matter where you go with family, you go with friends, you go by yourself when you're old enough. But it's to open their minds from a year, from an early age, because it's so important to let them be open to other cultures, let them understand different cultures and then the different ways people live. Make them more, it makes them more empathetic and compassionate, for sure. And you get that from an early age, and you get them asking questions. And, it, you know, sometimes when I do these readings at schools and libraries, it turns into a geography lesson and a language lesson.
Yeah, I bet.
And an interactive, like, oh my God, did you really do that? Because they're like, oh wow, so you're the author, but you're actually also kind of Maya. So it turns into an extended geography lesson. You know, looking at the map and like, you know, where is Brazil? Where in Brazil did Maya go? I definitely want to inspire them. And I think so far with the events that I have done, you know, I've had kids come up to me just like, wow, I want to do what you've done one day when I'm old enough. Even just getting the book signed for them is like a huge, they're so happy. And that just, that makes it for me. That makes my day, because, and that's the reason why I did this. There were so many reasons I did this, but yeah, that was the number one thing. I wanted to empower young children and let them know. And also, and especially Indian girls, as well, and this is for all kids, girls and boys, no matter what color you are. But I wanted there to be in the front a strong Indian girl to represent, really, to say that, you know, other Indian girls out there, culturally sometimes it's not accepted as much in our heritage, that you can also do this. Just because you're Indian doesn't mean you have to go down the traditional route. You can travel, and you don't have to do it by yourself. You can go with your friends, you can go with your family, you can go with your siblings. So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think it's really, really difficult for the average white person to understand what it must have been like growing up and reading books and watching things on TV that didn't have anyone that looked like you in them. Do you know what I mean? I've interviewed lots of authors over the years who have said the same things from all kinds of different backgrounds and ethnicities, saying, you know, they grew up loving books, but nobody looked like them. And I think that's really, it's really important. I totally get why you would want to do that. And I think, as I say, the average white person can't relate to that because everyone looked like them, you know.
Exactly. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I grew up reading Jacqueline Wilson books and Enid Blyton adventure books. So that adventure was always there from a really young age. And then my parents were really good in that way. Like, you know, I was a girl guide. I was a brownie, a girl guide. So I did a lot of camping. My parents took me camping. We went to, you know, when we go to like European countries for holidays, we'd like barbecue on the beaches and, you know, hire a car and like, you know, explore and stuff. So I think for me, that I used to love that. I used to love and love going to travel agents back when we used to have travel agents on the local high street, you know, and opening the magazines and the brochures and seeing all these beautiful beaches and palm trees. And that used to really excite me. So there was something there from a very young age already.
Yeah.
That I loved the aspect of travel. And I think a lot of it, and I touch upon it in my books when I introduce Maya, because, you know, Maya's very loosely or strongly based on me. But, you know, Maya talks about, you know, where her inspiration comes from, why she loves traveling. And a lot of it is about her upbringing. And, you know, my great-grandfather and grandfather were travelers. My parents came from East Africa in the 70s to Britain. They were born in East Africa. My grandparents were actually born in India. So to make those transitions back then, you know, one of my grandfathers was very like quite adventurous and daring and just would go and visit, can't speak the language, would just go and visit a country. So I sometimes always think that he was kind of the, I think I've got some of the genes from him as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Fortunately, I never got to meet him because he passed before I was born.
Oh, I love the inspiration for children as well to get excited about geography. I had a similar-ish experience with you growing up with my parents and travelling and camping and all that kind of thing. And my father always inspired me he was always looking at maps, so I always knew where we were going and roughly working out the distance of where we were going. And it always upsets me, and I have to say annoys me slightly, when I see people on television, whether it's on quiz shows or reality shows or whatever, who have no clue where things are, even if they've gone on holiday there or they used to live there, and they have no perception of where Spain is compared to England or where South Africa is compared to England. And I just think, why would you not want to know? I don't get it. If I'm going on a plane somewhere, I want to look at a map and see where I'm going.
Exactly. And I think that's why it was so important for me to put the map in the books, that one of the front covers, like it's a double page spread of like roughly what, you know, Brazil looks like or what California looks like. But also, you know, as I kind of scale and grow, I'd love to, you know, I've got a I did my own website and I'm really proud of it, but I want that to develop too and make it more interactive, that kids can go on and throw on an app and spin the globe to be like, where has Maya actually been? So, it, you know, they can pinpoint, and they're better at pinpointing where these countries are, because sometimes they're not so obvious, right? Like, especially when we talk about, let's say, Malaysia, right? It's kind of split into different states. Mm. So it's interesting for them to see, like, you know, where those are and where they're placed. So unless you go there, it's very difficult. Sometimes you don't really remember. Even adults sometimes struggle with that, right?
Yeah.
So I want to make, not only are the reading sessions are very interactive, but I want to make, you know, app-based stuff very interactive, the website interactive. As I build on the series, I've got, you know, I'm writing my next book, which is going to be based in Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. And this will be slightly different because it'll be with her, based on true stories of my true stories, but it's with a friend, a Sri Lankan friend. So she takes me around, and there may not be a dog involved in it as well. So they make a friend. So kind of building on the characters and the destinations. So Sri Lanka, Thailand, and then there's going to be lots more added to it. As I develop the character, develop the books and add more books to the series, I want that from the technology aspect to build as well. So kids can really, like, it really helps them really.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
So I think that plus, I'd also love if we can turn Maya into a Disney animation or an animation of some sort, because I think that's also going to be super important. I mean, we all know Dora the Explorer.
Yeah.
But she was for the slightly younger generation. And this is really more for, you know, anything from 6 to 11, 6 to 12, you know, the best reading age for those who can read them themselves, 7, 8, 9 year olds. Are going to really understand the language and be able to read them themselves. I think an animation would suit it perfectly.
Absolutely. And on the website, you could, I'm getting ahead of myself here. These are probably things you've already thought of, but you could have the flag from each country, the currency from each country, the typical food that they eat in each country, you know, so they can really, from a small bit of information, they can learn a lot about what Malaysia's like.
Exactly, and then actually, you know, I kind of wish that now that I put the flags there in the beginning as well, and like the local currency stuff. But I think it's nice to also have like a bit of a reference at the back of the book that I'm going to start doing. And I might have to re-edit some of the ones I already launched, but just a little reference page for, like, you know, I've got lots of like how to say hello and thank you and stuff in the book.
Oh, fab.
Which is great. So like you'll have the local language in there. So it turns into a bit of a language lesson. You know, I don't touch as much on, and I'd like to do this in my next books, not on the money aspect of it. And yes, the flags, because flags are great. I love looking at flags.
Oh, definitely.
I can never remember half the flags. Well, if you can remember that from a kid, that's you're a step ahead. But yeah, I am. There's so much more to develop with the books and the character.
For sure.
Thank you for that idea.
No worries. And I have to mention the illustration, just looking at the front covers, absolutely gorgeous. How did all that come about?
No, so I'm self-published, and I'm really glad that I did do this, because I really, coming from the finance sector, I didn't know much about the book industry. So when you're doing this and self-publishing yourself, you're really learning a whole new industry, all the nooks and the crannies. So what I found, I went to a self-publishing show, and I did a lot of research. Google was my best friend at the time as well. There are platforms out there, so technology has really helped the industry, I think, especially for self-publishers. And there are marketplaces that you can find illustrators and editors. I used one called Readsy. I just said, I gave my synopsis, I gave my whole brief, and I said, this is what I want to do. And I found an editor off the back of that, and he just happened to have his own kind of company that had other editors and illustrators. And he introduced me to my brilliant illustrator, Tula Corti, who is based out in Spain, and she's amazing. And I actually used AI to get a blueprint of the Maya image. It took me a while, but I kind of wanted to get some sort of blueprint that when I went to an illustrator, I could say, look, I think I want Maya to look like this. Can we work off that? And that was really helpful, actually. And I've been very open about that, because there are so many tools that you can use to kind of, it was to form my creative mood board, right? Of like what I wanted Maya to look like, what was she going to be, what kind of clothes was she going to wear? That was super, super important. And a lot of people ask me for the age range of the books, why did you put the graphics in? Why did you put the pictures and images in? And I said, if you're writing about these beautiful destinations and scenery, you can explain it for sure, but it really commanded to have an image with it, because they were so beautiful. The places that I saw were so beautiful that it commanded to have illustrations with it.
Yeah, it's brought it to life.
Really has brought it to light, I think, anyway.
Yeah,
I hope
definitely.
people have enjoyed the watching, well, looking, reading the books and seeing the illustrations with it.
Yeah. So what is the, because we always put one book up on the website for people to buy. What is either the first one or the most recent? What's the one you want to kind of get people to start with?
Oh, I mean, look, there's no order. If I was to do it in the order of the places I visited, Brazil was the first country I went solo when I was 19 years old, and I backpacked there for a month. That was really kind of got the travel juices flowing to be like, oh my
Okay.
God, I love this. And I was 19 years old. I was in the middle of my university degree and with no money. And back then, this was 2005, we had no smartphones. I was walking around with traveler's checks and cash down my socks and bun bags and things like that. And I had a Lonely Planet. I remember I had a Lonely Planet Brazil book and I lost it. So I'd lost like how to do the translations and stuff as well, and it was a bit of a nightmare. But that memory will always be with me
Yeah,
forever.
brilliant.
So
Well, let's start with that
that
one
would be
then.
Brazil if it was my first destination. But I think I mean all of them are very popular. I would say Japan is also very popular, because I think the parents who are buying it, they tend to pick the destinations that they also want to visit. And it looks like Japan and Brazil seem to be the top players in terms of parents wanting to take their kids and visit the country.
Brilliant. Well, we'll put the Maya's Soulful Brazilian Bonanza up on our website so listeners can get a copy of that from there. It's been
Brilliant.
great chatting with you, Sharika Chohan.
Oh,
Thank you
thank you
so
so much
much
for
for
having
joining
me.
us, and best of luck with it all.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.